Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're talking with Julie Napolin, who helped create the Price Lab podcast, and with Sarah Malinsky, the Price Lab program manager and podcast producer. Price Lab podcast is a series focused on the people who are building, using, and critiquing the digital tools and techniques that are transforming the humanities in the 21st century.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast to talk about your podcast. In this episode, we tend to talk about optimal tools and best practices. Since one of the missions of your podcast is to sort of elevate underrepresented voices, how do you take that into account when you're prepping or when you're teaching students or getting ready for a podcast, getting the guest ready, or with a set of questions that you use? How do you sort of thoughtfully make sure that your podcast is a safe space for these underrepresented scholars?
I don't want to claim that we're doing it perfectly, because I think it's definitely a learning process for most people to be more considerate and more thoughtful. It's funny because I'm kind of bifurcating this experience of the podcast in my mind a little bit into two halves, and there's the before COVID and post COVID, because they're very different production-wise. Pre-COVID, we were meeting together in a recording booth at Penn. I believe I was sharing questions with people in advance, you know, with guests in advance. I sure hope I was. If I wasn't, you know, I was trying to give it to them and a little bit of time to read over it and think through things. Generally speaking, I think I would email guests a rough outline of what we would be discussing so they wouldn't feel surprised, or they'd have a chance to say, I don't know about that question, but I'd rather talk about this. You know, because it's not an interrogation, it's a conversation, you know, so we really want to make sure that people feel ready and knowledgeable about what they're going to be talking about. It's not very formal. There's a set of questions, but I oftentimes have seen people deviate from that, you know, kind of just ask follow-up questions or just go with the flow of where the conversation is going and really kind of listen to the guest and see what they might have to bring to the table. I do feel it's important to say that while not everybody that comes to the podcast is someone that Stuart is familiar with or that folks that are interviewing are familiar with, oftentimes there's some kind of connectivity, professional friendship or otherwise. And I think that that also lends itself to feeling like a pretty comfortable environment. Like I know during this COVID period, Stuart has been doing a lot of the recordings over Zoom. And I've noticed that there's something about the joy of people seeing each other and talking about something that they're passionate about. Even if it's on Zoom, it's just a conversation and it's usually pretty friendly and relaxed. I would also say the Price Lab's viewpoint on creating safe spaces and trying to be good allies and really being more critical of that, that's evolving in step with our wider society evolving around those thoughts. And I think it's something that I've just seen change. What happens in the podcast is a microcosm of what happens at the Price Lab. The ways in which people think about the learning space or the space being open and welcome and safe for people is something that is writ large for Price Lab. You know, I'm a white person. Stuart is a white person. Not everybody on staff is white, but I think as we two are oftentimes working on this, I would welcome feedback from people and I wouldn't expect it. But if they ever were like, hey, this is how this could be done differently, I would hope that that could be a learning moment for everybody and say like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. We'll do that.
I'll just add to that something that I've done this year on the heels of the Black Lives Matter uprisings that I had never done in class before is write community agreements, you know, where you decide amongst each other, how are you going to treat each other? What's important to you as a small community? And there have been moments since writing those community agreements where we had to go back to it and say, hey, one of our members has kind of infracted upon this or is not living up to this. Let's take a moment to address what happened, and actually just allowing a little bit of time for that discussion, which is extra academic, extra scholarly. It's not about the book that's in front of you. It's not about the material you're discussing that day, but it's nevertheless the fiber of what it means to be together talking. And this is a generation of students who have been growing up with podcasts and growing up with this new conversational medium in a way that terrestrial radio has never been. I mean, talk radio is mostly pretty scripted, and podcasting is really about letting it all hang out there.
That's a great approach, and I can see how it would translate well from the classroom to a more intimate conversational setting.
And it just echoes Sarah's point that it is a learning process. From the get-go, you're saying we're going to talk about uncomfortable things that happened rather than just scolding them or sweeping it under the carpet. Then you actually have the opportunity to learn from it. I would have never thought of doing this, by the way. I should give a big shout out to the program of civic engagement and social justice at my university that distributed a bunch of resources how to make these agreements, because I never would have known. I would have never been able to figure it out.
We spoke about this before, where we had students coming in and working on the podcast. And we obviously did that with Julie's students, which was fantastic. These students who had a variety of backgrounds. So it was great to come have them produce content. You know, it really allowed for a variety of takes on the subject matter of digital humanities to kind of come out. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this yet, and it's huge. I've been working with a student worker, Maria Chiamesso da Silva. She and I worked really closely together on the podcast this past year. There's no way I could have done it without her work on this because, you know, she's fantastic. And also, as I've mentioned, I'm an admin. I do a lot of different things. So Kia was there editing transcripts and co-producing episodes with me. So I really feel like that's something I don't want to lose. Kia's perspective was really wonderful, and I'm glad that I had that. She's from a different generation than I am. She's of a different racial background. I think there's just a lot going on there where her voice, her presence in that added to the process, and I was very grateful for it. So I think that's also part of it too, right, is thinking about who's producing it and who's actually taking part in having a say in what material is getting shared. Because we cut down a lot. Sometimes I ask people to only record 30 minutes, you know, or like 40 minutes because I'm doing like a 15 to 20 minute podcast. So there's a lot that we have to choose. You know, it's a lot about choosing. And it's sort of interesting because I'm not an academic. The students that I work with are getting a very rigorous academic training, you know, but they're not at the scholarly level yet, or they're not quite perhaps ready to step into the mantle of being a scholar, however you want to describe that. So it's interesting that we're the ones that are doing a lot of the choice making in terms of what goes out on this podcast. And I think that says something about the material too, and that it's not only technological talk. There's a lot of just sort of more interesting interpersonal narratives and information about the scholarship that manages to be translated.
Something that you both said that really struck me personally is talking about the students grew up with podcasting, and it's something that I get intellectually, but I realize I can't really get it. So I'm really curious about those varied perspectives on this process and this medium. You're talking about undergrads, is that right? When you both say students, you're talking about undergrads. Do they like things to be faster and more edited with more music, or is it just a different sort of take on what is interesting? I don't know if it can generalize.
Well, the thing that struck me teaching this new generation of students, and I identify as Gen X, I say I identify as because I'm kind of on the cusp between generations. But the thing that strikes me about this younger generation is the sense of a desire to put their voices in a medium and to disseminate their voices and to be in conversation with other people, and that they have podcast heroes. And all of them were podcasts that I had never heard of because I grew up with traditional terrestrial radio, and so my radio knowledge was about the people who were putting what had already been terrestrial programs onto the internet, you know, things like This American Life that already had this really long history. But they're listening to things that are born digital, and mostly what they are drawn to are about regular people who are not famous getting together around a microphone talking about the things that matter to them. And I would have a show and tell every week where a student would bring in a podcast that they were listening to and talk about what they thought was great about it, what they thought worked about it. And every week I was just kind of blown away by not only how many podcasts were out there, but how interesting they are. And so I think that's really driving this new generation of listeners. They want to put their voices out there too. They want to be part of the dialogue. And the technology is right at their fingertips. They can post things on SoundCloud. They can use GarageBand. Craig, you mentioned a moment ago that when you used to cut, you had to literally cut, you know, which meant you actually had to have some difficult to learn technical skills. I was a video major in college, actually, and I was still doing tape, where you're doing linear editing, where if you make a mistake, you have to go back and like start over, basically. So anyways, this is just to say that they seem to sense that there's this ongoing conversation, a polyphony of voices, and they want to be a part of it. Not like, oh, there's this sanctified host, and maybe one day I'll get to be their intern. That's not what they're interested in.
That universe doesn't exist anymore, really, I think.
No.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think it does exist, right? But it's almost like we have this layered, like if you think of it, like the media landscape is just like very layered because terrestrial radio is still there. People still listen to it, you know? So it's interesting, but you'll dig deep and there's just so much out there. So it's fun to be with the young one and be like, hey, cool kids, what are you doing now? As I think the term that just came out this week for my generation, my micro generation, is a geriatric millennial. I was like, really? All right, that's cool. So I'm a geriatric millennial, so I definitely enjoy being on a campus with young people.
Well, this has just been a wonderful, for me anyway, enjoyable discussion. I could talk to you both for hours about all this stuff because it's just so interesting what you're doing.
Yeah, and everybody listening should like and subscribe to the Price Lab podcast. You can find it on SoundCloud.
With that in mind, is there anything, Sarah, Julie, that you would like to add that is really that kind of promotional plug for the work that you're doing? This is the nitty gritty.
For now, we're only on SoundCloud. But this summer, one of my summer projects is going to be to get us on all of the platforms, on all the channels. You know, as an academic center, the summer is a very different time for us. You know, and Dream Lab is happening, but it's completely virtual. So check us out on SoundCloud, and you can find our website, which is pricelab.sas.upenn.edu. Or we're on Twitter at PennPriceLab. So oftentimes I post there information about the podcast.
Thank you both so much. This was just such a treat.
Yeah, thank you. It was a thrill to discover your podcast, and it's just a thrill to talk to you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And if you would like more information about the Price Lab podcast, you can visit pricelab.sas.upenn.edu/podcast or look up the Price Lab podcast on SoundCloud. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council produced in partnership with KUNM FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.